Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
You know, as I began to think about what I was going to preach on tonight, start with a glass of water. Hopefully that wasn't poured in 1989 or something. You never know, you know. I never see them getting refilled. Does anyone see them getting refilled? They just sort of are always there. You never know how old the water is. 5 weeks, you know, well, that's not too bad. I'll take that. 5 weeks is not bad. And I was thinking about what I should preach about, and I've had an interesting couple of weeks coming into tonight. And who knows when God wants to give you a little clip over the back of the head, he does. And there's no avoiding that. And I think that this week particularly, you know, bouncing a lot of stuff off Nicole, I've learned a lot about myself, and I've learned a lot about how interesting and how surprising your walk can be with God, and how hard it is to, I suppose, guess what sort of journey God's going to take you on. And I don't mean to be too cryptic there, but all I'll say is that God's doing things, which is exciting regardless. So this evening I want to talk to you, preach to you from Romans 12 verse 2. And as I read this verse and delved into it, I was really challenged by what Paul is saying to us when he writes these letters to the Romans and to Rome. And to paint the picture, this is a church in Rome that really is not, hasn't experienced quite yet the persecution they're going to experience in the coming times. And a young Nero has just sat on the throne. He's about to heat things up, excuse the pun, and he's about to really put a lot of pressure and persecution on the Christian church. And Paul writes to them, challenging them and equipping them really for what's to come. And so if I could just have the title slide, that'd be great. So this evening I want to talk to you from Romans 12, and I've named this sermon, Not Conformed, Transformed. And I want to break this scripture down into 5 points. But before I do, I just want to read from Romans 12 too. So get out your Bibles. If you've got your little smartphones, you can get them out too, your little doobalackies and whatever whatsamacalls we're using these days. And we're going to read from Romans 12 too. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing and perfect will. And as I studied this scripture and looked at it, I've really broken it down into 5 parts. The first one this evening I'm going to talk about is do not conform. The second one is patterns, and particularly patterns of this world. Third is be transformed. 4 is renewing the mind. And fifthly is God's perfect will. So starting with number 1, do not conform. And read this in the first part of the verse. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Starting with do not conform. The definition of conform is to be similar or identical. Also, to be in agreement or harmony. You see, we all want to belong. We all want to fit in. Whether it's at the local football club, workplace, family, friends. We all want to belong somehow. It's in our nature to want to fit in with what's going on around us. It's having common ground that can bring a sense of security. And it can be really tempting to conform in order to create this security in our lives. You know, unfortunately, we live in a society and culture that is moving away rapidly from God's values. You know, the fabric of society is moving in the opposite direction of God's commands. Be fair to say? You know, I was really blessed growing up. I'm from a large family with 5 brothers. And my parents are here tonight. And my poor mum was presented with a few challenges when we were growing up. And one of those was undie stealing. Because what happens is if you've got 5 brothers, that's a lot of undies. All right? That's a lot of washing. And so what used to happen was, the washing would happen and the undies would be put in piles. And for some reason, when I would go to get my, and it would be left on my bed, And I'd go to my pile looked a bit sparse. There'd be a few of me jocks missing. Because what would happen is they'd get poached. Because certain brothers wouldn't buy jocks. And they'd let their jocks decay to a point where they'd be thrown out. And so there'd be this war of circulating underpants. Now, if you're part of a large family like me, that wasn't the only issue from clothing. Another one was we always got involved in what was called the hand-me-downs. Okay, it makes sense. And me and my brothers all went to the same school. We were blessed enough to go to Oxley College. And so instead of buying new uniforms, you'd get hand-me-downs. And one of the worst memories of one of these hand-me-downs was I got given these shorts that my brother used to wear when he went to school. The problem is my brother, he's about 18 years old, or not 18 years, how much older is he than me? He's about 10 years older than me. And these shorts were so short because they were from a different decade. And Oxley were okay with a transition period with the uniform, you see. You didn't have to all wear the brand new stuff. They'd give you a grace period where you'd have to transition into the proper uniform. And so my parents weren't pushed to buy the new shorts. They thought, these shorts are perfectly fine. Aaron, you wear these shorts to school. Now, these shorts were probably fashioned in around 1981, and they would have looked similar to something Ron Barassi would have worn on the football field. We're talking that short stuff. And I was wearing these, you know, during PE, and everyone else in the class had the new shorts. I was the only person with these short shorts. So when it came time to ride the school bus, or sports buses, we'd go off to play footy or whatever it was, into school sports, I'd be wearing these short shorts on the bus. And sitting down in the short shorts just made things worse. Everyone would notice, what's this guy wearing? What are these shorts? You know, they don't have the Oxley emblem. They look vintage. What is he, some sort of strange fashionista? And I'm still scarred to this day by those short shorts. Because I'm talking about it now, so I must be. Every mineral in my body just wanted to have the normal shorts. I really wanted to own those shorts that everyone else was wearing. You know, it can be really hard not fitting in at times. You know, if we don't look the same as those around us, sometimes we can get teased. We can look a bit odd. We can look a bit unusual. You know, when we are led by God and what may be popular is at loggerheads with our faith, we can become unpopular ourselves, potentially ridiculed and in some places persecuted. You know, being obedient to God isn't always comfortable. We'll only have to look at the media attention that Margaret Court has recently received, and some of you may have seen this. I would have liked to play one particular interview that she received, and I didn't for time, and I didn't feel it was appropriate, but I don't think I've ever seen more disrespectful journalism in my time. The witch hunt and the things that were said to her and the disrespect towards one of our greatest sporting icons was deplorable. So we see that people are making a shift towards what is popular, and if you don't fit into what is popular, you can be ridiculed and teased for it. Margaret made a conscious decision to stand against conformity because to conform is more often than not to follow the path of least resistance. You see, when Paul talks in this letter about not being conformed to the patterns of the world, he uses the Greek word shushimetezo, which literally means to be moulded or stamped according to a pattern. The verb is passive, implying that if you don't actively and intentionally resist the age, you will conform. In other translations, such as the Phillips, it reads, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold." Paul uses the word world. It's a reference to the world system and earthly desires. You see, we have to actively resist the lure of the world to conform. It's a conscious daily decision to avoid a subconscious subtle slide that can happen in our Christian walk. Sometimes we can look in the mirror and wonder, how do we get to where we are? How do we compromise so much on this, that, or the other? how we got so far away from what God's will might be for our lives. It's important that we remain effective as Christians. You know, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, chapter 5, verse 13, it talks about salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. We are to remain distinguishable from the world so that we can impact those around us. To be conformed, shushimatezo, is a slow molding or slowly establishing a pattern. It happens gradually to us rather than a single event. Uncle Screwtape says it so eloquently in C.S. Lewis's book, The Screwtape Letters. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, the soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without millstones, without signposts, your affectionate Uncle Screwtape. By remaining alert, we avoid getting complacent and allowing the subtle influences of the world to affect us. We must be transformed in Christ, not conformed to the world. So the second part in this scripture, chapter 12, verse 2 in Romans, we have do not conform, and the second part of that sentence is to the pattern of this world. So the second part I want to talk about is patterns. You know, the definition of a pattern is a reliable sample of traits, acts, tendencies, or other observable characteristics of a person, group, or institution. We are all subjected to patterns in everything we do. It doesn't matter where we are, what we're involved in, we're going to come up against certain patterns. Patterns in the way we dress, the way we speak, what we eat, where we go, what we spend our time on, what we spend our money on. Patterns can be created through culture, through media, family, friends. Most patterns come from being submerged in the world around us, and it can be hard not to let some of that seep into our lives. You know, what are some of the fruits that the worldly patterns produce? Greed, selfishness, disobedience, rebellion, hate, vanity, pride, godlessness, lawlessness, immorality, anger. You see, when I was young, because I'm not young anymore, I used to have a bit of an anger problem. And it was something that became a real annoyance for me. And it used to get me in all types of trouble. And I specifically remember this one time when I was down at a local playground near my folks' house with one of my older brothers, and we were just horsing around a bit. And you know how boys can be, you know, bit of teasing, bit of banter, starts to get a bit heated. We started having a bit of an argument, and then a fight ensued. And we sort of came to blows. So here we are wrestling around in the middle of this pretty much vacant playground and trying to, you know, have it out with each other. And during this fight, my brother was at the stage a bit bigger than me and a bit stronger than me. And so he sort of had me pinned down, and I was wrestling to try and get out of his grasp. And I was looking around to try and find a stick or a rock. It was very Cain and Abel. And I'm trying to find something, right, to hit him with, or to sort of put a break in his hold on me. And out of the back corner of my right eye, I see this rock, and I could reach it. So I sort of shuffled free, and I reached over the back of my shoulder, and I grabbed this rock. And as I grabbed the rock squeezed between my fingers. It turns out I just grabbed a big, fresh poo. With my bare hands. And it made me so angry. I just got even angrier, and my brother just looked at me and just laughed at me. And I remember running home, chasing my brother up the street with this poo hand, screaming at him and just being so fierce at the fact that I just humiliated myself in trying to get my vengeance. You see, when I couldn't solve a problem and became insecure or frustrated, I would resort to a pattern of anger. And this established a stronghold in my life. This wasn't something that I had consciously decided to start doing. I didn't decide to be an angry person. I hadn't made the decision to try and be a violent person or in any way like that. But it had established itself in my life. It had wedged itself into my life. And I always remember this sermon that Chris gave a while ago, and I'm terrible with timelines, but it would have been years ago. And he talks about a wedge and the way the skinny part of the wedge will work its way into your life, almost like the tip of a spear. And it starts with that skinny part, and as it gets in deeper, it widens. And this anger had got into my life like a wedge and created a stronghold. You know, what patterns have you allowed to develop in your life? You know, we're called to a different path. We're called to follow the example and pattern that Christ set for us, not the world. In John chapter 13, verse 15, in the NLT, it talks about, I set the pattern for you that just as I did to you, you should do also. We are to be emulators of Christ. And it's a beautiful full circle thing, because God has given us an example. We are to show others the example in turn. And what does Christ's pattern look like? Well, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, in the ESV, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Christ has given us his example, and we must follow it wholeheartedly. What is it about when you get a microphone in your hand, your mouth just dries up, doesn't it? So strange. We are called to be emulators of Christ. His character and actions are to be patterns set for us as we are his hands and feet in the world. So we move on to number three, but be transformed. So we've got, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Number three, transformed. The definition of transformed, to change in character or condition. The word transformed is used by Paul to encourage the need for ongoing development as Christians. The term transformed is the Greek word metamorpho, which is formed from the word metamorphosis. You see, when a tadpole changes into a frog, that's metamorphosis. When a caterpillar changes into a butterfly, that's metamorphosis. So when we speak of metamorphosis, that's what God wants for each one of us. He wants us to have an actual change in who we are. And the thing about metamorphosis is it's not a singular event where one moment it's a caterpillar, next moment it's a butterfly. It actually goes away and it goes through a changing process. It's an ongoing, continuous process, the metamorphosis. And I ask the question, at what stage are you at in this Christian transformation? Are we staying at the larva stage? Are we staying at the small caterpillar stage? Are we a baby butterfly or are we a bold, full butterfly? See, the beautiful thing is that God created a caterpillar to become a butterfly. He didn't create the caterpillar to stay as a caterpillar. It was never meant to stay as a caterpillar. And we are all designed with a purpose to be continually transformed into the most beautiful Christ-like version of ourselves. And when we're stagnant, we don't allow God to change us and to enter into that metamorphosis, which is that ongoing transformation and growth. The way Paul describes it is this is not an on-again, off-again transformation, but a continuous one. The verb is passive, the implication being that the catalyst in the transformation is God. That's why Paul says you must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our relationship with God is in a constant state of metamorphosis. And in doing so, we are not conforming, but transforming. That's such an exciting thing. That means we're never stagnant. We're always transforming with our relationship with Christ and God and what He's got in store for us. We're never stagnant. That brings me to the next section, renewing of your mind. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, renewing means to give fresh life or strength to. Paul uses the word renewing here rather than renew intentionally, in my opinion. By doing so, we understand that the renewing of our minds is ongoing and continuous rather than a singular event. It's a constant. We must renew our minds daily. The word renewing is a translation of the Greek word anakinakis. And the action of the preceding verb, transform, directs attention to a continuous renewing process, one which is to keep on taking place. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, in the NIV, it says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." See, we are challenged to renew ourselves with God day by day as an ongoing pursuit. Because it's not in our strength, but Christ's that we are renewed. When the enemy knocks you down, we're renewing Christ. When we come up against something that's going to defeat us, we go and renew in Christ. It's this continual day by day relationship of renewal. When things look dark or hopeless, God will renew us. This is why it's so important to have a daily discipline with Him in prayer, fasting, and reading the Word. In this, we are renewed upon in daily application. You know, we live in such a busy world, and it's not hard to say that we need to find time to slow down at times. You know, when we worship God, when we go into a time of praise and worship like we did tonight, it's almost like we're going in the opposite direction to that whole mindset of busyness and pace. That's why I love worship so much. It makes you stop. It makes you stop. You know, it can remind us at times of our littleness. It reminds us to be still. It reminds us that we need to wait upon the Lord. So I challenge you tonight, are you consumed by the hustle, the bustle and the distraction of life? Maybe it's time to turn off the TV, turn off the radio, turn off your smartphone, shut down your computer and hear from God. You know, me and Nicole were challenged about 6 months ago to set aside a night where we didn't do any tech, so no technology, and we would literally just spend time together in prayer and in reading the Word, and it's been so amazing. It's been so amazing. And the crazy part was when we first started doing that, the attraction to go and reach for the remote or to reach for the phone or reach for the tablet or reach for the computer, because it's a pattern. It's a pattern that we're all involved in and we're exposed to on a daily basis. And so to have a stop in that and have a time to renew, a daily time to renew, is so important in our walk. We allow Him to renew to give strength and life. So that brings us to the fifth part. Where we talk about, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing and perfect will. And this is the final part of chapter 12, verse 2. Paul concludes that you are to renew your mind so that you may prove that the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. The key word is prove, which stems from the Greek dozimazo, which means to examine, prove, and make genuine. We notice Paul doesn't speak of finding or discovering God's will. He says that you can prove God's will. How encouraging is that? That God's promise is that it will be proven to you. See, God's will is hope and prosperity for all of us. A few years ago, we had a development going on next door to our house. And the front gentleman had sold his house and he'd sold the rear block with plans. And so a really, really nice guy brought the front block and a bit of a different character brought the rear block. And he was developing it and building a house on this vacant block. And what was happening was the works were going on for about 6 months, and it was quite a slow build from what we could see. And we just literally built before that whole block was sold and the sale went to market. We'd literally just built a new fence between Nicole and I's property and Steve's, the previous owner. I was quite proud of the fence. It was a nice high fence. It had a nice thick plinth on it. It wasn't one of those, you know, real cheap ones, and it was a good fence. Well, after the first 6 months, the amount of soil that was being taken out to create the shared driveway, I watched my fence just slowly become the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And it was slowly just shifting because he was moving so much dirt out of the ground and shifting all the compactness underneath. So me and Nicole talked about it and we thought, you know what, we'll have a conversation with him. We don't know who he is, but I'll try and catch him one day when he's out the front of his house. So I waited. It was increasingly hard to get a hold of this guy. Till one day I got home from work. Then I was just going to the mailbox to grab the mail and I saw him in the front of the front block and he was loading up his trailer. So I went over to the fence. I said, oh, excuse me, I'm just the next door neighbour. I just want to talk to you about the fence. Didn't turn around from me to probably where the drum kit is. I thought, it's a bit strange. I thought, give another go. Oh, excuse me, mate, I'm just the next door neighbour. I just want to talk to you about the fence. He turned around. And he started to abuse me. He said things to me that I've not heard ever. He came up to the fence. He began to have a go at me about bringing this up, even raising the question around the damaged fence. And he was a really angry guy. And I could tell straight away when I looked him in the eyes, I could see there was a spirit there. And I thought to myself at that moment, what have I done? I've just upset the hornet's nest. He wanted to fight me. He was abusing me, threatening me. He was threatening Nicole. He was threatening our dog. He was just baiting me. He wanted to engage with me. And we were about this close to each other over the fence. And I was just staring at him. And at this stage, I was a bit confused. Because I thought, what happened here? I just went up to the fence and I tried to ask a question and now we're here. Anyway, he jumped in his car. He backed out onto the road, jackknifed his trailer, got back out and started going again. Got back in his car, drove down, came back out and started going again. Anyway, when it all settled down, I went into the house and I realised we had a bit of a problem. The next 3 to 5 months were a very difficult time. Our dogs got reported to the council, or one dog got reported to the council for barking. I had rocks thrown at my head in my front yard. I was ridiculed being on my own property. He would say to me when I would get ready in the morning, are you going to church, are you? Getting ready for church, are you so-and-so? I refused to engage with him. Time went on. I was out the front of my house and I happened to be on the nature strip doing a bit of work on the garden bed. And I saw his car there and I didn't take any notice of it. I just went about my things. And he came out the front. He saw me there. And he was eating his lunch and he came around and he came out the front of the house and he came right in my face and he just wanted to fight. And when I wouldn't give him what he wanted, he pipped a bottle of water on my head and spat in my face. Every single mineral in my body wanted to kill him. But you know what? We don't fight against flesh and blood. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over his present darkness. against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You know, this isn't a story about my self-control, because I can tell you right now, I sinned in my mind. I sinned in my spirit, I should say. But what this is that when the world throws patterns at us, when the world throws their way of doing life at us, we can either conform, we can either conform to it, or we can choose Christ's way. This is not a happy story where he becomes born again and he comes to church or I give him a present. My dad said, what you should do is you should buy him a gift. Give him a gift. And I wasn't super keen on that idea. It was probably the right thing to do. I wasn't brave in handing the gift over because I thought he would have smashed it over my head. But it's not one of those stories where he became born again or he had some amazing encounter with me or this, that, or the other. I don't know what happened. We left him well alone. He went on and did his thing and that was it. What would it have looked like if I had conformed to the pattern that he was presenting to me? You know, we are called not to what is popular or easy. When we choose to emulate Christ's pattern, we're stopping the cycle of sin. We're saying no to hate. We're saying yes to love. And when we do this, we are transforming those we touch around us in the process. This evening, my prayer is that we would be encouraged by God's promise in the same way I have been. I pray that we will be continually transformed in Christ and renew ourselves daily, that we may know and test God's will for each one of us, that it is one of unconditional love, hope, and prosperity. You know, I think the world needs more pattern breakers more than ever. And the world is crying out for answers. And as depressing as it can be, and as sad as it can be to watch the 6 o'clock news, I don't mean any disrespect by this, it's exciting as well. Because with that, there is a need. And there is a need for us to be obedient. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Cam, can I just ask you to come up and Sky as well, just quickly? And we'll just finish with a song. Yeah? So I hope you've been challenged in the same way I've been challenged by Romans 12:2. I hope that we would continue to be transformed rather than conformed by the things we see around us. Let's pray. Lord God, we just give thanks that you are the beginning and the end, Father. That you are all-powerful, God, and that you are all-loving. I just pray right now for each person here that we would be challenged, Lord, not to be conformed by the things we see in our day-to-day lives, not conformed by the things that get in our face and that offend us, Father, but that we would be transformed by you and that we would be the difference we wish to seek in this world, Lord. I just pray you watch over each one of us, Father, and I just pray right now, if there's anyone here, Lord, who feels set or who feels trapped by patterns, Lord, who feels that they cannot have their mind renewed, who feels stagnant, Lord, I pray you would release them right now, Lord God. I pray for your blessing upon them. I pray for your power upon them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.